Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey!
Hey, let me be your Beverly Hills.
Oh my god, I'm so glad we're done. Rock of love.
The real icing on the cake was a patron commented on the most recent Rock of Love post, and they were like, waiting for Lara and Carrie to learn that Kelsey was told by producers to say that Nathaniel comment to Natasha.
Really?
And then when Natasha pushed her, she cracked her skull, had brain damage, and had to like relearn to talk.
Are you serious?
And I'm like, well, that's going out with quite a bang, actually.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so well, that's sad. I'm sorry, that's what you get when you're transphobic.
Totally. But also,
but you don't deserve that, to be clear, but...
Well, like, but the way they kind of just, like, swept that under the rug on the episode, I think everyone was, like, so horrified, and, like, it was such a...
She got incredibly injured. Like,
she had to learn how to talk again?
Yeah. They usually let those fights play out for a really long time and like kind like a Jerry Springer style, but they did not Springer this fight. They swooped her up and like got her the fuck out.
Damn. She had to like, it was like the movie Awakenings with Robert De Niro. She had to like...
It was like $1 million baby, but only like a quarter of $1 million baby.
But also $1 million baby never lost her wits.
True.
Just her bodily functions.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And did Natasha ever face like legal ramifications for that? Because that's like, you could get
heavily sued.
Or
I
like
don't know.
Go to jail.
I would think
maybe not
that...
go to jail. She's also Canadian, so she could be.
Yeah. Also, she's making like so much money. I'm sure she could just be like,
here, I'll pay for your
whatever.
Holy shit.
Isn't that sad?
Well, the show should pay for it because they...
Yeah, I mean, they should be liable.
They started it. And they also didn't...
And they also set up a situation where it's like known that women are going to fight.
But also physically, they set it up where like the women were basically like their little tables were, their al fresco seating was on the edge of a steep
Yeah, they
stage.
Have like elevated.
Yeah, it was like the aggro
stadium seating.
It was.
They were on the aggro crag.
They were on the literal aggro crag. Remember that show?
God, I loved that show.
It was so good. That guy, what was his name? Mike.
Mike, who then is like an actor or was like on Glee for a long time and was on other shows. I loved him on other shows.
But and then that British woman was like...
That's what made it really legit.
She was like, the aggro crag is an 80-foot platform, you know... With its own weather systems on each level, a new climate, and it's like snow, which is just confetti and like silver paper like blowing at you, and then like heat, blast of heat, and then just falling rock and a fog machine.
Like a styrofoam, falling styrofoam.
I wish I had like gone and been in the audience for that show, because that was such a fucking incredible... What was it called?
Oh my god, what was it called? I'm sure like readers are screaming at us.
Hey, readers.
Readers, what was it called? Was it just called the aggro crag?
Nickelodeon Guts.
Global Guts.
Global Guts. And it was only on for 3 years.
Really? It felt like it was on during most of my formative. I guess that's like the 3 years that I was hardcore watching Nickelodeon.
Mike O'Malley and Moira Mo Quirk. She played the referee.
Remember when you won Guts, you got a piece of the aggro crag?
Yeah, and then you got to the top three, because it was from all over the country, all over the world, and mm-hmm. the top three kids ran around with their flag.
Yeah.
And whenever it was in America, it always felt kind of bittersweet.
It was our Olympics. I always wanted to be on What Would You Do? Because I loved like the pie coaster.
Figure It Out with Summer Sanders. Was that...
That was...
Were you a little old for that?
I think so.
Because I was like even... I was even old for that, I think.
I liked... What would you do?
I don't really remember that.
What would you do? And then it was just like you would always have to make decisions and then somehow there was like a pie in the face.
I don't remember What Would You Do? I remember...
That was with Mark Sommers.
Oh, well, I remember Double Dare. Mm-hmm. Where you like... climbed through a nose and there were like slime boogers.
Oh yeah, I didn't disgusting. Like that. I don't want any like booger humor.
I also remember Roundhouse.
Oh yeah.
That was sort of like an SNL for all you Gen Z listeners. That was like pre all that.
I didn't like Roundhouse that much.
I did. Roundhouse.
I liked All That. I was at All That head.
Me
like
too.
So inspired by All That.
Keenan and Kel
and that Lori girl.
Lori Beth Denberg
was
Vital Facts
hilarious.
With Lori Beth Denberg
yeah.
was like fucking like bleak avant-garde humor.
That show was
Amanda Bynes
humor. That's when I got a little bit older, like was when Amanda Bynes came in, but I still appreciated her.
Ask Ashley.
Yeah, but Good Burger was
pinnacle comedy
at its finest.
The movies are incredible. Keenan and Kel were so good together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I feel like Kel was like touted as like the real comic of the two. And then Keenan actually became
like the true Lawler.
Mm-hmm. And now he's SNL like vet. That was so crazy when he became an SNL cast member.
Yeah, it
he
felt
was already...
right, because I was like, you've done this for years.
But to me, he was already so famous, because I grew up with him.
He cut his teeth basically doing kid SNL.
And then when he was on SNL, it was like, it felt right, but it was also like, oh, this is, like, I, like, revere Keenan. So it was almost like, wow, why are you doing, like, you don't need SNL. Like,
you're above that.
But then he was great. Mm-hmm. Now he has his own show on NBC.
Love that for him.
I wanted to someone going back to the Chrissy Teigen of it all that we talked about.
Well, the theater continues because literally as this episode was getting edited, then I checked the Daily Mail for like the first time in ages and then saw all this like Michael Costello has been outed as like some problematic figure and he's done fucked up shit. And then it was like Chrissy Teigen wants to get an Oprah interview and like set the record straight. And I was like, this is
truly no one is good. So Mike Costello is apparently he's also like guilty of actually saying racist shit. And people like Leona Lewis have chimed in saying that like
he like wouldn't make clothes for her because she wasn't sample size.
Yeah. So I don't think he's innocent. So I think.
I mean, everyone's a piece of shit. And really, like.
Anytime someone is. Yeah.
You
no
can't.
One is,
you really can't, like, lob accusations online.
Unless you know you're clean.
But even when. I mean. It's funny because it's like it opens up a portal for then, like, everyone falls down the black hole.
Yeah.
And like getting as sanctimonious as he did kind of about it, it was just like digging your
horizon.
Own grave.
And I have to admit, like, I think part of it I had blinders on because I'm like, I was just so like down on Chrissy Teigen and horrified that like I just took his word at face value. So like that's probably not good of me and I didn't do enough research, but he has a history of allegedly being racist and alienating like women of color that he's worked with, and I am a huge Leona Lewis head, so I was very upset to hear that he came for a queen of mine.
Well, so, it sucks, like...
So, apologies to Leona Lewis.
The next chapter is, like, someone then comes out and is like, Leona Lewis did this to me. And it just, like, yeah. It's that is the cycle of Leona entertainment Lewis, now. But she's pretty, like...
She's great.
Yeah.
Remember when she got attacked?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Some she was doing,
was
like...
Was she an American Idol? Is that how she came to be?
I think she was, like, British X Factor or something. She had that okay. song, I keep bleeding, I keep bleeding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she had that horrific thing happen where she was at some fan signing and some dude just came up and punched her in the face and, like, assaulted her.
I hate
like
that.
Square, like, fucking pig man just came up and, like, she's been through it. And she should be bigger here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So,
no, it sucks. Like, also, I was just thinking about the very few times that I've been able to, like, either borrow clothes from, like, a designer or have been wow. in a photo shoot. Like, literally, I'm talking, like, 3 times or whatever. Or been in a photo shoot.
Want to know how many times I've?
Someday.
Zero. Zed.
Shower us with clothes, please.
Please. Someone also, send me and Laura clothes.
It's really bittersweet because, like, I had a friend that worked for, like, a big designer or whatever, and I could borrow stuff for events. And this was, like, around the time I was doing White Girl Problem shit. And everything was sample size. Like, you yeah. can't, unless you're a size 0 or 2, I'm, you're like, pretty shit out of luck. So I would get stuff that I'd basically squeeze into and, like, pray that no one would realize that it's, like, tied around the arms. And then
it's fucked up.
I did a photo shoot for, like, the Hollywood Reporter way back in the day.
What's that publication called?
The Hollywood Reporter.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And all the clothes on set were also basically sample size, and I had to, like, squeeze myself into some, like, Marquesa
R.I.P.
garb. And it was just really uncomfortable because in those situations you just feel like a fucking fat ass. And, like,
and also they're like, they're probably like, ooh, like, and then you have to hear them be like, maybe we have to do something bigger.
Yeah. Or then, like, why don't you try this? Like, you can't. It sucks, like, when you see clothes that you want to wear, but then you can't fit into them. And so then yeah. you're in a dress that you don't feel like is a representation yeah. of you and your own style. And then you're just like, then you have to do a photo shoot where you pretend, like, that you're having to, like, project confidence and, like, glamour. Yeah. You don't feel like that. And also it's like, I'm not fat. I'm a size 8. Like, that's, like, a totally normal mid-sized body. So it's just, like, it's hard out there.
They'll call anyone fat who's not, like, a size 0.
Yeah.
Or size, like, you know what I mean? It's, like, ridiculous. Like, and I'm not, like, I, even me going into, like, a store that, like, caters to, like, gay men or, like, it's all very, a lot of the clothes, are, like, J. Crew even. Like, mm-hmm. the clothes are just, I'm, like, I can't fit into this.
Slim.
And, like, I feel like a fucking giant. And it's, like, I feel like I'm, like, Tall Girl, that Netflix movie. I'm
always running into, like, a Tall Girl scenario. I went to vintage, like,
J. Crew is a no, by the way.
J. Crew is no.
Yeah.
But I went to, like, this vintage expo yeah. event that, like, happens sometimes in the Valley where all these vendors will, like, sell their... Mm-hmm. vintage clothes.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's really cool. It's called A Current Affair, or like Pickwick Garden. Yeah, it's
Let's
awesome.
Let's go next time.
Oh, yeah, I'll invite you next time.
Okay.
Oh, and it's outdoors, and I mean, you buy tickets. You yeah. No one has to invite you. But looking around, I'm literally like, what doll is buying these clothes? Like, most of them, I just can't even.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, truly for, like, a petite woman from the 40s or something.
It's a ghost.
I was literally, like, what ghost child wore this.
World War II ghost.
Yeah. But then, miraculously, there was this guy from Chicago that was there who had bought from an estate sale, like, this dead rich woman, like, half of her closet. And guess what? She and I, same body. Exact same body.
Do you have
body.
Some of her clothes up there?
I have some of her clothes. I bought a Calvin Klein collection.
Did you sage
dress.
It?
Huh? I might, but I feel like we are spirit sisters. I like everything.
She was like, it was meant for you.
It was meant for me. Half the stuff he was like, she didn't even like half the stuff has tags on it.
Yeah.
She just had houses everywhere full of clothes. And then randomly, like, he'd give me like a pair of like Armani silk pants to try on. Also, yeah. his prices were incredible.
Really?
Yeah. Like, beyond. And he gave him, they fit the length, the waist, like that never happens.
Yeah.
That never happens for me. And I was just like, this is, I'm even having chills right now thinking, I was like, this is a miracle. Her death was not for not. I was like, she died
to give you clothes.
She lived and died so that I could then wear her clothes.
I love that.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of luck at Crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's like basic. Like,
no, I
but
mean,
it's
that's
like,
the point.
There's vintage and used clothes like can be really great. And I sure as hell go right to it. So
I love it. Yeah.
But anyway. Going back to the yes,
everyone's
Chrissy
a nightmare.
Chrissy Teigen is now like apparently poaching the Oprah network to get an interview with Oprah to like revamp her rep.
We don't
so
need
like,
it.
We don't need it. We don't need it to hear from her.
You
don't need to hear
that,
from Mike Costello.
I pray that Oprah know. I mean, here's the thing. If it happened, I would hate watch it and
yeah,
like consume it voraciously.
I would love to watch Oprah take her to task.
But I don't think she necessarily would.
I don't think she would either.
I think that Chrissy actually has a lot more opportunity born out of this kind of scandal than repercussions. But I think that's just like the world
that's
we live
the game,
in nowadays.
Baby.
But
in conclusion, everyone's a nightmare. If someone claims something else and you're immediately like on their side, chances are you're wrong.
Yeah.
So do some research and just don't assume anyone is.
I wasn't assuming anything.
I think she probably did bully him, but I think he probably has done bad shit too.
Yeah. I wasn't assuming that he's like totally innocent, like that he has never done anything wrong in his life and was just like bullied by Chrissy Teigen.
But he kind of phrased it to be like that.
Yeah. And he was like truly playing the like victim card hard.
She probably did tell him to kill himself, but he probably did.
Seems like her thing was telling people to kill
the
her brand is kill yourself.
Yeah. But on a lighter note, moving away from the Teagues, I took a 5-day break from Twitter.
Love that.
And I have to say really quick, it felt really good. Mm-hmm. Like it felt, I was like starting to spiral last week. And then when I went on, because a show I wrote on, it comes out today on HBO Max, Summer Camp Island.
Everyone
watch it. It's amazing. It's kid friendly, family friendly, but also adults can watch it on their own and not feel weird.
Love that.
Great, it's a cartoon. So I tweeted about it just to post it, and I kind of was just like perusing a little on the timeline, and it kind of felt like, you know, when you like feel like you're missing out on something, and then you get there and like no one's really there.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of were like, oh, this is it. That's how I had this very strange and I think positive sensation of being like, oh, like, no one's here.
Yeah.
Even though everyone was there.
That was me with the Daily Mail, where I, like, haven't looked for a week and a half or 2 weeks. And then I, like, downloaded it and just checked to see, like, what the deal was.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's the same old losers on here.
Oh, my God.
All the time.
It's really fast. Speaking of Daily Mail, I saw Ana de Armas is now dating the Tinder founder.
Who's that?
I don't know. Some generically handsome guy.
Good for her.
And then do we talk about Ben Affleck and J-Lo making out in Malibu?
Yeah. I just like can't bring myself to care about them.
I'm more excited about Angelina Jolie and Johnny Lee Miller.
Angelina Jolie also terrifies me to my core.
I know.
I'm truly like something is awry. She gives me Mia Farrow vibes. She really rubs me. Like, I love her. I root for her. I wish nothing but the best, but I'm also like,
something's up.
Something ain't right.
Well, yeah, that's been her theme, I think, since she came into the public eye. Something ain't right there.
But it was always like sexy, voluptuous, something ain't right with a side of like humanitarianism and like danger.
And like barbed wire tattoo on her arm.
Yeah. And now it's like something ain't right and there is maybe like disordered eating and like.
Well,
a lot of anger and vitriol and like legal drama.
I was watching a reality show yesterday, and there's this one part where one of the cast members rides off in an ATV, like this girl, or like on a motorcycle, like down a wooded. And I went, Angelina Jolie, and to those who wish me dead.
Yeah, and then after those who wished me dead, I was like, something really ain't right. That was the icing on the cake, and I was like, I no longer fuck with this person.
There were so many times watching that movie where I went, she's starting.
Mm-hmm.
She, when Angelina Jolie like started walking, or when she like was drunk and she was like, get me on that cycle, hand me the parachute.
She's fucking starting.
I went, she's starting.
I'm in a place of get well soon with Angie.
Yeah, I get that.
And I'm like taking some much needed space.
I'm also taking space from Ben and J-Lo.
I've been taking space from J-Lo. She's in this one commercial that makes me laugh out loud every time I see it. It's always on during like Bravo. But it's like, it's a hair commercial for like some sort of hair supplements or like a line of shampoo or whatever. But she's like, being in the industry for 20 years has really done a whole, like, has done so much damage to my hair. And then it shows her with her hair that's supposed to be professionally styled, but it looks like she was just struck by lightning. Like, her hair looks so bad.
She was Angelina into those.
Yes, and every time she does that, and then it cuts to her with, like, her weird curls, like, frizzed to hell and back, I'm like, I'll say. And then she's talking about, like, how this shampoo system, like, I think it's called, like, Hers or something like that. Like, just fully, like, revamped.
Oh, is it like Hims?
I don't know. No, isn't Hims, like, for ED?
Well, yeah, and
Hers, I think, is for hair. I don't know. But I was just like, honey, it ain't helping.
Yeah. I mean, she's...
She's
she has
true.
To,
it's
I think
too
she
much.
Has to try really hard to not look good.
Yeah. And also, I'm like, I'll never forgive her for saying she only... has ever used olive oil as facial, like that's her facial regimen. She's never gotten Botox and she just uses olive oil on her face. I was like, you're a fucking bold-faced liar.
Yeah.
And
no,
I don't forgive that.
She's totally had a ton of work.
Yeah. So I'm like, taking space from her and glad that her and Ben are like rich people fucking again and sucking again, but also I'm just like, this, like,
grow up.
We're in a place of like just recycle. Everyone's just recycling to us and I'm sick of it.
Well, then there was a rumor that A-Rod and Katie Holmes is a mystery,
permanent mystery.
She was like, when I moved to New York in 2012 and she and Suri moved in post Tom, it was like the at least in my head, it was like the thing to spot them. Like, I would hear people being like, oh, I saw Katie in Surrey in Soho, because they lived above a Whole Foods and they could use a back entrance elevator to get up to their penthouse.
Oh, love.
And I just wanted to see them so bad, and I never did until I catered.
That would be the ultimate sighting, yeah.
But they were, it's crazy. Like, that was like such a thing. Like, that was a moment in my New York life when Katie Holmes and Surrey moved. How sad is that?
It's huge. I need her to write a tell-all book.
She'll never do it.
Maybe when she's in her 70s or 80s. I mean, she's not acting.
Well, Tom will look exactly the same when we're all in our 80s.
Vampire King. Honestly, I kind of love Tom.
Oh, I look at... Okay. I think...
I don't love Scientology, but I love that he's single-handedly just trying to keep the film industry alive, and he is like working hard to make it happen.
I enjoy any movie he's in. I'm gonna have fun watching it. He's good literally in every movie he's been in.
He's a star.
He's like he's truly like maybe the last.
He's one of the last actual
matinee idols
movie stars that we have.
And he's crazy, and he's deeply problematic, and probably a total psycho and like yells at people, but he's fun to watch.
I think he yells at people that deserve it.
Yeah. But
he's out here throwing himself off buildings and like
he's going to space.
Yeah.
He's going to film a movie in space.
Really?
Yes.
He's doing the work.
He does the work. He's like, "Hey," but I think he has a death wish.
He does. He's always just walking on the edge.
I want to see the new Top Gun.
Same. And I'd never even seen Top Gun.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you would love it. It's very homoerotic.
Okay. Love
like
that.
Like Val Kilmer and Tom playing volleyball and like basically sucking each other off.
Sexy.
But yeah, Katie Holmes is an enigma to me. She's always booking. And it's so wild to me that she and Jamie Foxx dated.
for a long
like
time.
10 years.
Yeah.
And
I'll bet they lolled.
Oh, they were hot. Mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx is fucking hot and like just seems like a really cool guy. And I bet they like, yeah, I bet they had like fun together. But they were, it was very clandestine. And I think it's because Tom Cruise worked with him on that movie Collateral. And I think he wanted Jamie Foxx to be in Scientology.
Mm.
So I think they met each other through Tom. So that was probably like scary for them.
Yeah, they had to be low key.
But also Tom is gay, so
yeah,
he probably is
just
like,
suck a dick, babe.
Yeah, he's like, good.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'll set you up. He's gay, right?
He is. There's no question.
Or he's bi? No, he's gay.
Yeah. Hope he gets out of Scientology someday.
He won't. They know. Also,
hope Scientology like crumbles someday. No, they own too much real estate.
But also from the stuff Leah Remini said about Tom, he sounds like unhinged.
Yeah. I think we're learning that everyone is unhinged and we have like access to people's most unhinged moments more than ever before.
Anyway, so go see Top Gun, pray for Katie Holmes, and don't
pray
trust
for Suri,
anyone.
Because I do believe the sad thing to me is like I feel like she probably has no relationship with her dad, and that's really sad.
Well, he almost left the church for her.
I mean, that's, imagine, as someone with deep daddy issues, I really feel for her.
I mean, she is also his clone.
Mm-hmm.
They look exactly the same. And he was going to leave the church, and then they double down on him to keep him in. And then pray for his kids with Nicole Kidman, because they sound...
They're weird. Connor and Isabella. I don't even want to utter their names. I'm afraid
they're gonna
like,
come
I'm
to
afraid
the door.
They're gonna just knock on the door and appear. I feel like they have the ability to teleport.
When Leah Remini at Tom and Katie's wedding, they were all in like a van going somewhere, and she said to Isabel, like, "Where's your mom? Is she coming? Or like, how's your mom doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And she turned to her and she goes, "I don't know. She's a fucking SP." And Leah went,
"Okay."
Like Nicole Kidman raised children for like their whole lives, and now like doesn't have kids anymore.
Yeah,
like she
has kids.
She has kids with Keith Urban, but she has two whole other kids.
Yeah,
that were her own.
That she adopted,
and like raised as her own.
I'd be like, you're pretty ungrateful for that.
It's just wild to me that like she doesn't talk about it.
I think it's probably to protect them.
You know how painful she's probably like.
No, that's.
Do you
think
she's like in grief over it?
I'm sure.
Like, how does she function?
Maybe she's probably had like healing experiences after having a family and then having like
being with her man.
Yeah.
Being with Keith, who's Australian. I don't know why I'm speaking in Australian. But like, I don't know. She has, maybe that's part of like her brokenness that everyone kind of feels in her performances, is like she's tapping
always
into that place
channeling
grief
of the loss around her first two kids.
Her children were taken from her, basically.
Mm-hmm. And turned against her.
And now they act like she's dead. Like, that's probably the cruelest. Anyway, I don't want to get into it because I'm afraid of them.
Yeah, Connor and Isabella, like, they have powers that we have not even begun to comprehend.
Absolutely. Anyways.
I'm Lara.
I'm Carrie.
You're listening to
Sexy
Unique Podcast.
Beverly Hills Angels. This episode was a kind of a, it was like edging us
in
not a good
way. It
really
was a tease. What the hell?
I hate when Bravo does this. I hate when the housewives, when they do this kind of shit.
Also, every single episode has been to be continued.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're actually not continuing anything except just showing the next episode that would happen anyways. Like, isn't life just a series of to be continued?
They've maxed out their use of the title card.
To be continued. Yeah.
They need to, that's only can be done once or twice in a season, mm-hmm. but that's it.
I would say once.
Maybe once, yeah.
I think one time, if it actually is going to be continued, then you can use it.
This is the only time this season where it could have been appropriate.
Yeah.
Like this, even the Sutton Crystal fight, like that was, you didn't have to put, they just.
They never even, that wasn't even a continued fight.
It was like the editors were like, hey, we can do this thing.
They someone just it. Discovered to yeah. be continued.
We need
and
to do it.
Bravo's oh, like, this is God. Incredible.
Yeah. We start out, by the way, with some, like, it's election day. By the way, I'm really tired of reality shows forcing me to relive COVID and election day.
Same.
2020. Like, I can't deal with that trauma.
Fuck off. Like, we all lived through it. I don't want to see
it.
Or even, like, I just don't want to even see anyone living through any of it.
I don't want to see that. But
after a long day at work,
I don't
want to
see that. But it's true. So we start out with a shot of this kind of gorgeous tracking shot of a Escalade on the highway, and we see Erica in the back seat. She looks amazing.
This is cinema. Mob wife Erica in the Escalade.
And she's just like looking out the window, and you hear a voiceover, and she's like, of course I'm sad about this divorce. What do you think? I was with this man for 20 years. And then she like turns to the camera and she goes, And then it freezes on her, and then it goes 3 days earlier.
Which you actually think you're going to get, when it does that, usually the whole episode builds up to that point and then like chaos reigns, but they didn't do that. They didn't even show us like the scene that they promised to show
us.
No,
they lied.
It's a bunch of liars. And then like weird kind of, which I think is fake drama between Dorit and Kyle.
Yeah, that was stupid. It was very like A24 trailer. It was like boom. Boom. Seeing the car tracking shot of the car.
It was
like the
hats
lodge.
Hats off to the team.
The lodge.
The cinematographer. You yeah. nailed it.
So we get to election night and
Kyle's hosting a election night party, which I can't think of a worse place to have to be.
I know. I mean that
speaking of edging,
that
the
bar.
Election was
Oh,
her house, I'm truly horrified every time. Like, I can't reconcile the beauty of that house's exterior with the painfully decorated interior.
Yeah, the front of the house is like, it looks very...
It's like stately and gorgeous. And then you get
something's
inside.
A little, I have to say, something's a little... The exterior of the house feels a little like white supremacist vibes, I gotta say.
Oh, because it's like a colonial style house.
Kind of, the exterior is gorgeous, but it's like so immaculate and pretty that you feel like oppressed by it.
Yeah, I didn't process it like that.
No, I'm not actually, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like it has this like haunted colonial vibe that like freaks me out.
Like old Hollywood. Like it's like an old Hollywood mansion.
Freaks me out. Murder.
Well, the inside's haunted with Kyle's bad taste in furniture and decor.
Kyle stands Kamala Harris. She stands. She's like, Kyle's like, I have a rule. I don't talk about politics, but this is just too important. So Kyle's all in for Biden.
I'm just like,
okay,
miss me with every sort of housewife political commentary. Like,
yeah, I don't care.
Literally don't care.
I'm not turning to them for...
No, and I'm like, I don't think that anything negative or positive that happens is going to have any effect on you and your life and your lifestyle whatsoever. So
you're right.
It just holds no weight with me.
Even just seeing rich people navigate, especially these women who are like legitimately rich and not just like fake rich, like other housewives franchises, like New Jersey. Or not, actually, New Jersey has some rich people on it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like OC or something. Seeing them navigate COVID, it's like offends me because one, they're not taking it that seriously, and two, like, they will be fine.
Yeah. Like, the stakes are just, like, low for all of them.
It was so good to get away. From what?
From this house? From your mansion?
Yeah.
From your air conditioning?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Kyle's having a red, white, and blue themed election night. Everyone has to dress patriotically. Mauricio comes down and he's like, what do you want me to do?
It's a really good Mauricio impression.
And she's like, honey, you have to wear something other than this. He's like, I got camo shorts on. Isn't that enough? And she's like, no, you have to go change.
Kyle's having a real love affair with polka dots this entire episode.
She is. Mauricio is so high at all times.
So high and so hot.
He's gotten better.
Just gets hotter and hotter with every episode.
Daddy. We cut to Dorit and PK. Dorit looks like was channeling Cher Horowitz.
Mm-hmm. She's incorporated vote barrettes in her hair, and so that's her nod to patriotism.
But the rest of her off, it's like Irish.
It's always after me, Lucky Charms.
Kyle calls her a leprechaun later.
It was a leprechaun outfit. Dorit, like, her style is bad. I'll say it.
Yeah, she does. She's...
It's always logos, which I think it's fine to do, like, some logo-centric looks every once in a while. But when it's all that, it then becomes kind of cheap-looking to me.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Even though you know it's expensive because it's, like, a whole Louis Vuitton head-to-toe. But I'm like, how hard is it to get the logo thing borrowed from the designer?
What's the freckle saying?
Sometimes things that are expensive are worse.
And that's true in the case of Dorit.
Yeah.
And her style. Then we do something which I truly get so furious about on these shows when there's a whole plot line or fight from something we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And then they show us that clip and you're like, where was this?
Yeah. Why?
I wanted to see this. I would have liked to see this.
So apparently Dorit and Kyle have drama because while Dorit was talking to Crystal on the private jet back from Tahoe, Kyle interrupted her. And then Dorit said, don't interrupt me. She got mad. And then Kyle started crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kathy goes, don't cry. And then went in to hug her. And then Dorit was like, really? You're crying now?
Someone's crying, like Adrienne Maloof.
I love that.
Yeah, so Dorit and her, as you said, I think it's kind of manufactured.
Yeah. I don't buy into, like, that it's really causing such a problem in their relationship.
Sutton just is this.
Sutton shows up in some unhinged couture, which, like, I'm grateful for.
I kind of like
I like it too.
The dress.
Like when Sutton goes, like, little girl lost with a Peter Pan collar and a dress that costs 30 grand, and I'm like, I'm all in.
Who is she? She was with the guy who runs her store. What was his name?
Jordan. Yeah.
By the way, we'll get to it later, but Sutton's store is very in fabric.
Mm-hmm. It is. Crystal and Rob are in their car on the way to the party, and Crystal is just reliving the terror of Sutton bringing her coat to her.
Yeah.
And telling Rob about it. And then when they all arrive, I love when they're all kind of standing around, and then finally Kathy arrives, and you just see Crystal, like, light up from within, and she's so happy that Kathy is there.
Such a relief.
And I love to see it.
Kathy, she really sounds like Martha Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
It's uncanny. And her face in this moment was like, her journey in her face was extra wild in this moment. Because one of her eyes is just like, truly like, Botoxed to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just going. She walks in. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
No one's here.
No. I just wrote, she's just divine.
Yeah. She's a gorgeous woman. Tony, stop.
She's so beautiful. Dorit shows up and Kyle calls her a preppy leprechaun.
Lisa Rinna arrives looking fucking wild. I'd call the cops on her if she showed up to my house looking like that.
She looked like she was in Delight.
Yeah, she looks like the wig transformation with like a sparkly jumpsuit.
Yeah.
I just can't with that look.
At one point, I think it's Kathy says, look at this presentation.
It is a presentation.
Garcelle's not coming because she's at home, probably like trying to just mitigate the stress of that day as much as possible. And she's like, the last thing I need to do is be around these fucking women.
Yeah, be around a bunch of, like, white ladies.
Yeah.
And Erica's not coming for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Because she's trying to mitigate, like, the FBI.
Uh-huh.
Taking her to task. I cannot reiterate how freaked out I am by Tom and, like, the flashbacks of him being, like, charming to the women and, like...
Yeah, they were like, it was only a year ago that we sat in their house and...
Imagine him on the phone talking to, like, burn victims or people whose lives have been destroyed and, like, trying to convince them that he doesn't know where their money is, but he's really working hard to get it for them and that he's, like, on their side and he's a good guy.
And then you cut to him, like, telling, like, this story about, like, old Hollywood and, like, John Wayne. And,
yeah. Mm. I'm just like, you are...
Psychopath.
The devil.
Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, like, people are burning and, like, crying and just, like, want so badly to have some semblance of their lives go right. Like, they've had so much tragedy. And you, like, laugh and drink a cocktail and, like, are completely unbothered by that.
And host, like, a party in your parlor.
Yeah. It just really fucks with me.
I just wrote, like, don't need to see it. Whenever they show the husbands talking, I'm like, stop.
I was fascinated by PK's observation. Like, Rob looks genuinely kind of freaked out by this whole thing. Like, I appreciate when someone is just, like, not ready for reality. And he really is, like, he's not, like, in tune with the cameras and stuff yet. And, like, PK and Maurizio, like, taking the shit out of each other, like, breaking balls. And then PK goes, all he does is smoke weed and talk shit about Maurizio. And I was like, damn.
Yeah. Then the ladies all sit outside and Crystal reveals that she lost 5 pounds.
In Tahoe. I was like, work. And Kathy goes, well, thank you to Sutton. And, like,
and you see Sutton turn to her friend and her lips purse. She goes,
I'm not in control of someone losing any weight.
Yeah, she's like, I will not take any responsibility for someone losing 5 pounds.
And then Crystal goes, well, actually, no, it's because I have food issues and I'm a recovering bulimic. So, and Kathy goes, oh, well, I didn't know that.
And then they all kind of talk, and then Rinna
goes, how long have you had this problem?
Yeah. How long have you had this? You didn't tell me about it.
Give Kathy a fucking talk show.
Oh.
Oh.
Whoa. Well,
I didn't know that.
Oh, no.
How long have you had this problem?
Yeah. Are you depressed?
She goes, since I was 11. Kathy goes, what?
Then they all kind of make it about them for a minute and share about their... Lisa talks about her daughter. Kyle talks about...
I mean, show me a woman that doesn't have issues with their body and food.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, a much larger percentage have.
Show me a man.
Show me anyone. Raise your fucking hands. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah,
I think
you.
It's like 20%. I'm like Olivia Rodrigo. Well, good for you.
Happy and healthy.
I think 25% of people probably have like a healthy, normal relationship. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say.
No, I think 75% of people live in a private hell.
No, it's legit. But also, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I want to just say Kyle's nose job is so good.
Yeah, she looks great.
She looks incredible. The flashback to her other nose, like, it's very subtle, but then I was like, oh, I see exactly what she means by they took 10 years off her face.
It's very natural looking rhinoplasty.
Such a natural, gorgeous rhinoplasty.
She's so beautiful.
She is.
That,
and
they're
her
all
shiny
beautiful.
Hair. Everyone, yeah, I mean, everyone on the show is like incredibly rich.
But the Richard sisters are all like, they're just like, classic, they're very
beauties.
Like, yeah, they're very like Hollywood girls. You know what I mean?
Kyle, because it's out of line. She's out of line. I stroked out. But Kyle's confronting Dorit and giving her ultimatums of like, if you want to continue this friendship, don't ever talk to me like that again.
Well, okay. So this is when I was actually just talking about this with my sister, and she was like, Kyle really is so smart that she's been able to, like, remain the top dog for, she goes, even more so than, like, Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Vicky, she's remained the top dog of the show since 2010. Like, 11 years of her, and she somehow stays in the fold. And this was one moment where I was like, you know, the seams are showing a little.
I see the wheels turning of her being like, because you have to manufacture drama with people. But I do believe that they're actually friends and she's really reaching for a moment to like.
I agree with you, but I think there's legitimate tension. And I think Kyle was kind of. She wasn't being smart about it because she was letting the camera see it. And this was her being like, I'm the top dog. You can't talk over me. I think she was like. I think it was partly what you're saying about manufacturing something, but I think it was also Kyle telling Dorit, like, don't interrupt me. Only I can interrupt.
It's crazy.
And
because Kyle doesn't even acknowledge that she, or her acknowledgement of her own interrupting is a non-acknowledgement, because it's more of an accusation of like, I don't interrupt, you just talk too long. And then I have to interrupt because.
Yeah.
You talk for 45 minutes and it's like.
She does a favor.
Yeah.
In her eyes.
I'd strangle someone if they said that to me.
So Dorit gets understandably really annoyed and she's like, I want to go. And she goes, PK, I'd like to leave now. And he's like, oh, can we, do you need to leave immediately? And she goes, immediately or as soon as possible. And he goes to Mauricio, he goes, well, that's my cue.
I love Dorit and PK like getting in the car and. Bickering.
Yeah.
He's like, we didn't even get to eat the food. Like, she goes, PK, you had a burger.
A cheeseburger before we left.
Cheeseburger right before we left.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. Kyle begs Dorit. She's like, please stay. Like, let's just watch more of the results. The night isn't over yet. And she goes, she mentions that her dad is in town. And
let me see my dad.
She goes
let
to Kyle,
let parents. Me see my parents. Let me see them.
And then Kyle's like, okay. And she goes, I'm done. I'm done here. And she walks off.
Power move.
Also, we watch the show Alone sometimes.
Obsessed with Alone.
Oh, yeah. You were the one who told me about it. Yeah. Sorry.
How dare you?
On the new season, there's a woman who is from Wyoming, but lives in Exeter, England, and she literally has a British accent, but it like goes in and out, and she's certifiable.
What's her name?
Teresa.
Is there a new season now?
Yeah, there's only two episodes.
Oh my god, I gotta
it's
get
in
back
Alaska,
into it.
But she's like a Stone Age, like she
enthusiast.
Yeah.
Like she's like living, just only wants to live like Stone Age people.
But
love
she's
that. That's actually your need to be locked up for a little bit.
But she was raised in Wyoming, but she has a British, full-on British accent. But it's,
oh my god, I can't wait.
But I'm like, I was thinking like, is that accent going to wear off the hungrier she gets? Or will she fight?
Or will it ramp up?
She's starting.
Alone is an incredible place for a she's starting moment.
Alone is great, everyone.
It is one of the best shows ever created. It
really
makes you think. It's so deep.
I really hope this season a woman wins.
Me too.
It's time.
It got so close last season.
I know.
But they cast that guy that won. I knew immediately when I saw him, I was like, this guy's going to win. He had nothing to lose. He literally, I think, was doing Alone for like the past like 20 years.
There's one woman on it that I think could win.
Yeah.
Her name, I forgot her name, but she's powerful.
I really thought that the blonde woman last season was going to win. No. Like she just got eliminated because she started to get frostbite.
Yeah, or she was underweight or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
God, oh my God, I'm so happy. I didn't realize the new season had started.
But I got Dorit vibes from this woman's fake accent.
I want to put all the Beverly Hills women in an Alone scenario and see how they fare.
Mm-mm.
My favorite Alone, like, characters are the Wolverines that sometimes, like,
oh yeah,
steal all their food.
They're surrounded by grizzly bears.
Hell yes.
So they're terrifying. And they come, like, up to their tent at night. It's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Dorit leaves. Kyle's like, ugh.
Sutton and Garcelle go Bentley shopping.
Yeah.
I love Sutton. She had them shut down the Bentley store.
Garcelle brings out the best in Sutton, mm-hmm. I think. Like, I think she's chill when she's with Garcelle because Garcelle, like, I think just has that, like, she has such centering of her in herself.
And she's like a grounding spirit for Sutton. Mm-hmm. And then also can, like, take the piss out of her, but Sutton doesn't process it in like an offensive way.
Yeah.
And it's a good duo. It's a dynamic buddy comedy.
Then we head over to Crystal's house and she and Rob are talking and just getting more of her family life. And at one point Rob says it he was like, you know, I did talk to Sutton a little. And then we cut back and you see Sutton. She goes, oh, you know, my friend Jennifer Tilly, she worked with you. And he was like, yeah, I've worked in her in three movies. So, like, they have the Jennifer Tilly connection, which I love.
I love.
Then Crystal reveals that every week Rob shows their kids a movie from the 1940s and she's not invited to watch.
It's their own bonding time.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like her parenting style when she's like, Rob is like the coddler, though he hates when he hates that word. And, you know, they probably fought about that later. And then she's like, I'm like the hard ass. And when her daughter comes over and is like, mommy, daddy. And she goes, remember we talked about ice cream, whipped cream and sprinkles and how you lose one of those every time. So sprinkles are gone.
Yeah. Rob mentions, he's like, I thought it was, I heard you were talking about your eating issues and eating disorder. And so they talked about that a little. And Crystal reveals that she is very cognizant of what she says in front of their kids, especially her daughter. And like, she doesn't like them to say the word skinny or like terms like that in front of her daughter because she doesn't want her daughter to have. Because she said the daughter's already come up to her and said, like, mommy, your legs are so skinny. So she's really trying to, like, mitigate that.
Yeah.
I keep saying mitigate.
I can't believe that would be place of really mitigate. Difficult. To.
Yeah.
I don't know how you have to be so conscious to prevent that.
Rob
and
really
not
has.
Go like, honey, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
Oh, my God.
I feel like better than yesterday?
Yeah.
You like skinnier than normal?
Let's
or?
Compare legs.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean. Oh,
no. I mean.
No, don't say that.
Don't ever say that.
No, mommy's legs are normal.
I'm like winking. I'm like, never say that. Never say that again.
Rob really does have deer in the headlights.
Rob is not like, ready for this world. For this. No. This ain't the Lion King anymore, buddy.
We go to Sutton's store and everything's boarded up and it's really just reminds me of that time last year.
Can I also just say, going back to the Bentley shopping, I love like. The contradictory nature of Sutton being like, this is the first time I've ever been able to like go out and just buy a car for myself without having to ask permission. But then also being like, they talk to my business manager. They know exactly what I can afford.
Yeah.
It's like you're still working in the confines of that kind of mindset, but then you are processing it as freedom.
Where is Sutton's store?
I've driven by it. It's
Is it like down past like Robertson?
I think it's on Beverly, like kind of around that area. I know I've driven by it a bunch of times and I've made like a mental note that I need to go in there, but I'm only gonna go in there if like when masks are over and like
I know
truly over. I've gone into Starbucks now twice, sans mask, and I'm the only person in there without a mask. But I do it.
Whatever.
I'm doing it. We've earned it.
Well, it was weird to walk by Kyle by Lean 2 and Villa Blanca, both
gone,
empty, and with lease signs on
they
them.
They needed to go.
Sutton store says established 1971. And I wrote, ha. But also, Sutton was the same age in 1971.
Yeah. I was like, where was it in 1971?
I think it was her birth.
She was not born in 71.
I think she was 50.
That's 50?
Yeah. I mean, it's 2021.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I literally was, this is me and math. I was like, she's not 30.
Because 1991 was 30 years ago. So
I literally
1971 is 50.
Think that we're still in the year 2000.
I know.
Like I'm mentally in a place of the early 2000s at all.
I know.
Time stopped after September 11th, I'll be honest.
Count one.
She's starting.
They walk in and they see all the boarded up.
That's Connor and Isabella.
They're just droning us. They walk in and Kyle goes, isn't that sad to see all the boarded up windows? And Kathy goes, yes. I just wrote, I can't in Sutton's store.
And they do a bit about mom jeans. Yeah. I hate mom jeans.
Kyle reveals that sometimes she has her daughters change their outfits when Aunt Kathy's coming over because she will have a comment.
Kathy goes, I really don't think you need that piece of furniture there.
Yeah.
I love Kathy weighing in.
And Sutton reveals that the kitchen is like in sight or something in view, and you just see Kathy's repulsed face.
She goes, and what is that?
The kitchen. And Kathy goes, oh.
Kathy is not having it.
Kathy also doesn't allow Kyle to swear.
No swearing for Doogie.
You love her. Kyle's forever gonna be
Kathy's rules.
In Kathy's rules. I love it.
And what is that?
And what is that over there?
I really don't think you need that piece of furniture right over there.
No. Kyle goes, girls, change your clothes. Aunt Kathy's coming.
Okay, wait. Do I have a huge crush on Harry Hamlin?
Oh, I was just going to say the same fucking thing. I want him to, like, plow me in that pumpkin patch with his puka shell on.
I want him to squirt me with that hose.
He is so hot. And him gardening, I was, like, completely...
Dream man.
He is... And his voice.
He has his necklace and like some facial hair, and he's just like casual and just a man like, that gardens. Like, and I'm not talking about like you have some plants and water them. I'm talking about you have a garden and grow things. Like,
he grew a gourd.
Yeah, he's growing potatoes.
Lisa goes, yeah. When COVID started, Harry said we got to grow a garden because the apocalypse might be just around the corner. So. He created like a doomsday prep garden, and it's so hot, and he's just out there in his board shorts, puka shells, and like dorky.
I'm obsessed with a man who takes initiative to that level, who like is like, I'm going to build a garden, and then like goes and builds it. Is not like that is, I just love that. I like that trait or quality.
Quaid. Evie Quaid.
I love that quality in anyone.
Quaid.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a dreamboat.
And he's like prepared. Like he went and got a reservoir of water and then got a fire hose. And like he's protecting his household. I think there's just something. There's something just like evolutionary. Like.
I mean,
evolution has made us to the point where I'm like, I want to fuck a person like that because that's just
I wanna
like
fuck
how
him
you survive
outside in that, like in the soil.
Like that's how, like we're born to survive by mating
him.
With people like Harry Hamlin.
I mean, you've seen Clash of the Titans, right? It was like his first. He is like has always just been one of like the hottest men I've ever seen.
I've only seen him in Mad Men, and I was like,
"Oh, well,
he's
go
not
back,
that hot in Mad Men."
Go back and when he was young, he was like,
"It was the one
jaw dropping."
I want a man to like,
and I want a man who to be like, I want an above ground pool.
I think that was just a reservoir. I don't think that was. I think that was his reservoir of emergency fire water.
I thought it was an above ground pool.
And I want a brave enough man.
I was about to be like, Simon, let's get an above ground pool and put it in our porch.
No, that was his fire reservoir. Like, I want someone that's going to be like, I will protect.
Yeah.
And like, now it's time to do the fire drill and like force me to fire drill and then like operate. Like, I want us to like firefight. I'm ready for those who wish me dead scenario in our own backyard.
Simon did, I have to say, Simon did do a lot of that like prepping during COVID.
That's
hot. A lot of canned goods. He made sanitizer.
Yeah.
I was like, because I'm not. No. I don't know how to do anything. So I was just watching him do stuff. And I was like,
he's doing stuff. He's so good. Yeah. I love that kind of vibe.
Manly.
Shout out to everyone whose partners are like prep partners.
Yeah. When they can't be.
Mm-hmm.
AKA me.
I think everyone needs like.
Everyone needs a Harry Hamlin type.
Yeah.
Yeah, so him and Lisa just, they really have the hots for each other.
You think so? I'm so like,
maybe not,
confused about their marriage.
I mean, Lisa says she blows him really well.
I believe that.
But maybe do you think he's a philanderer?
I feel like they probably have some sort of understanding and arrangement with each other. Like, because I'm just saying that because he says he's been divorced twice.
Yeah.
And
she's the third wife.
She's the third wife. So I think it's like,
I'm sure everyone wants to have sex with him.
Yeah. She's realistic.
Yeah.
romantic but realistic. And then I think to be that, because they've been married a long time, right?
Yeah, like 30 years.
Yeah, I think you have to kind of have understandings.
Yeah.
But it seems like it works for both of them really well.
Yeah, they're really centered, I think.
Mm-hmm. Sutton throws a $35,000 Paris French party, which I'm like, the sign.
Yeah.
Women that throw Paris parties in America, oh, yeah. Young Harry Hamlin. It's a jackpot scenario. Hmm. I'll third wife.
Sister wives.
Mm-hmm.
Harry?
Harry Hamlin.
Harry!
She says Harry for like 8 times, and he goes, yeah.
I love.
Yeah, Sutton's throwing this like truly...
It's the most psychotic thing a woman in America can do is throw a Paris party. It's never going to be Paris. It reminds me of the bridal shower and bridesmaids.
Yeah, what are you going to go to Paris and ride bicycles with fucking baguettes?
Like, it's unhinged. Just throw like a beautiful luncheon.
Yeah, it was
and
Paris.
And serve Parisian food.
She's like, I can't go to Paris Fashion Week. I can't go to Europe, so I'm going to bring it here.
I go to Paris at least 4 times a year.
She looks like she's at a funeral.
Walking in the rain and the smell of patisserie.
Patisserie?
Patisserie. The way she says it, I was like, whoa.
I wrote, okay. Mm-hmm. She also looks like she's at a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
She's abusing her staff.
I like her screaming at that guy about the champagne.
Yeah.
By the door.
Go by the door. And he's like, oh, he goes, okay. It's also at Kyle's old house where she's living, which I totally blanked,
mm-hmm.
that's the house she's talking about.
Yeah. What a world.
Kyle shows up looking like Laura Flynn Boyle in Twin Peaks.
I actually really like her outfit.
No, I was so into it.
She looks great from head to toe. Like, I was like, okay, this is an avant-garde look, but you're pulling it off and I'm all for it. She goes to Crystal's house to pick Crystal up, and I love that Crystal just like her slight nod to the theme, which is actually the biggest power move of all, is that she has an Hermes mini Kelly that's like a replica of like an Hermes storefront, which
in
you
Paris.
Know that costs probably $20,000.
I mean, it's I want that bag.
Yeah,
like Kyle is like truly, she says, I like just can't even, I'm not listening to anything you're saying because I'm looking at this alfresco.
Mm-hmm.
It's a work of art.
It's a moment.
Yeah.
It's not a bag. It's just it's a vibe.
It is a power move.
It's a total power. And leaving it out on the table just like casually,
mm-hmm.
and not dressing up in any sort of theme except for the bag. I love when Kyle goes, it might just need its own Uber.
Crystal's kind of iconic.
Yeah. I love her house.
I'm really like falling in admiration for her,
mm-hmm.
as like a powerful housewife.
Yeah, she has the chops.
She does.
Don't fuck it
She's
up.
She's the future.
I'm like, don't fuck it up.
Don't
Crystal.
Fuck it up. Don't fuck it up. So they head over together. Kyle keeps calling Sutton's house her house, which I love.
And everyone arrives and fucking Rinna and Kyle have the same dress.
Kyle sees her and slams the door on her. You just hear Lisa outside the porch going, oh my God, we did it again!
Do you think she does this on purpose? Or do you think, like,
no,
how
I think
is
they
this
just have
happening?
I think they just have the same stylist.
It's just all it's too small of a world.
But Lisa's out there for like a good few minutes.
Mm-hmm. I like Kyle's outfit better than Lisa's.
Yeah, the hat really.
The hat and the Chanel earrings, like, and the red Amina Muadi shoes are really, it all really, the look came together in a beautiful way.
When Lisa walks in, Kyle repeats her iconic line from season one, and she goes, you stole my goddamn house, to Sutton.
I didn't even catch that.
Kathy rolls in, and I think she actually looked the chicest.
Kathy goes, you all look very Parisian, but I have to tell you that in the daytime in Paris, this is the way I dress.
A blazer, jeans, and flats. Power.
And he just wears what she would normally wear.
Garcelle looked amazing. It's like, I think it's the day Biden officially
I think it was
won.
Like finally announced. So
like
the
Saturday.
Mood was a little bit happier.
Yeah.
And then I was like, thank God now we can be out of the weeds of this like election reminiscing.
I love that mask Garcelle had. It was like this like gold. Oh, it looked really cool. Missed out on that.
They're
all waiting for Erica.
They're waiting for Erica to arrive, and they're kind of discussing the divorce and like how surprised they were by it. And they flash back to Erica in Tahoe being like, the man's a workhorse, like blah, blah, blah. And then I love, this is my favorite moment of the whole episode, is Garcelle being like, I don't understand, like, why do it now? Like, shouldn't she wait? And then everyone is totally silent.
Because he's like...
And then Dorit goes, I know what you're saying. Like, just like fully in agreement. And then everyone's like, what? And then they all realize. And I was like, I just love the line of thinking of kind of like wealthy divorce, like May, December romance.
Like wait
it's
till
so
he's...
it's so morbid, but it actually is like very like a very good point. Like, why don't you just wait?
Garcelle, just the way she is able to just, she can just kind of say anything and have it sound really casual, but like that was such a like a brutally honest, like withering comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Dorit going, I agree.
I know what you're saying. And everyone else just being like,
I mean, he's old as fuck. Yeah. He's 84. 83? Like, he's not gonna be alive for much longer.
Yeah. And I think that...
I mean, obviously we know why she did it, but
yeah,
this is like...
But that's
you'd
a
have
great,
these thoughts.
That's a great point.
Yeah. What's he gonna do, marry again?
I know. And that's what you do in that situation, I feel like, if you're not... If your husband's not a fucking criminal.
Criminal psychopath.
Yeah. That's... You marry, and then you live out the rest of his old little life, and then you get to have the manse in Pasadena.
And, like, date a young...
Yeah, you fuck Armie Hammer or something.
They're all kind of speculating, and then Erica arrives, and she's looks great.
Looks
and,
great.
And then she walks in, and she goes, and tilts her head.
She has like an entrance where she then like shuts the door.
I know what she's gonna do. She's gonna be like, "Well, girls, you know." Great way to start the weekend or something. You know, she's going to have some
like a quip. Like she, this is like her like cabaret show or something.
She's going to be like, oh, this is just what happens. I like that impression.
Mm-hmm.
Because the man's a workhorse.
He'll work till the day he dies.
Because he's at the firm, darling. The firm.
The firm. He's calling plane crash victims and lying to them about where their money
is. He's leaving voicemails on like women who had like incorrectly inserted
like mesh slings into their like
bowels,
fucking bowels, and like urethra, who like have had botched surgery after botched surgery, just praying that they get some sort of restitution and have lived like in stress hell for years, lying to them about where their money is
and saying, please don't be mad at me, I'm a good guy.
Yeah, he's rolling calls to everyone he's personally victimized, and he's taking that money and transferring it into your bank account.
Wow. It's crazy, though, because had his deposition happened already by the time this was filmed?
I don't know. I think it was... I don't know, actually. Maybe not.
Interesting.
Erica's legal team just dropped her, though.
I know.
Because they said they just, like, can't trust her.
But, like, I'm also, like, what lawyer who's defended a criminal hasn't known that they were a criminal?
Yeah. And then, I guess, Kate Casey, shout out to Kate Casey, fellow podcaster, had... one of the lawyers that's suing Tom and Erica on her podcast.
Oh, wow.
And so, and he was saying, like, we really think that Erica knew about the whole thing and was, like, even more of a mastermind of it than Tom was.
They were, like, the perfect storm meeting each other. Well, it's kind of like, you know, with Ruth Madoff.
Yeah.
She kind of, I mean, she got away with avoiding legal, like, ramifications of like she was just sort of I was as caught off guard as anyone else, but she was his bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly knew what was happening, but now she's paying by living in a shitty townhouse in Connecticut.
Yeah,
with vertical blinds.
I mean, I do love the like a sad part of feminism is that like the wife is not gonna be able to be like, I'm just a little wife anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I love the trope of like, I'm just the wife, or like protected by just being the wife. Who, me?
And Erica's always, it's interesting that she's
It's such like a...
Well, she's all about like being a girl boss and being powerful and my alter ego. And then it's like she's going to feign...
Who, me?
Like...
Yeah, you can't have it both ways. You either need to be like just the sad, innocent, hot wife or an accomplice.
Either way, I don't think she'll face any real consequences.
I'm kind of maybe starting to think that she will, but Tom won't, which also doesn't feel right to
me. No, of course. I mean, that's like,
if anyone does, it'll be her. And I'm like, well, that isn't, I mean, she does, they both deserve to have consequences, but she doesn't deserve to take more.
No, absolutely not. He was doing this well before he met her. Like, he deserves
40 years.
He deserves to go down, you know.
But he's also like so old.
Is she going to go to jail?
TBD. I think she will probably get like a lot of her whatever money or possessions she still has.
She has $20 million from.
But we also don't even know, like, they probably have offshore banking accounts and like money hidden in like Switzerland or some shit.
Either way, I don't think she'll be on next year.
But won't she need the money? Won't she need to like make a salary?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, no, obviously she should, but do you think Bravo will have her on after this? Like after...
I don't know if like... I don't know. That's a good question. Because like, I think like the Bravo of yesteryear would like just be licking their chops for this kind of drama. But Bravo current day and age, I don't know if they would.
But even so, like the magnitude of what they've done... And the, just on like the principle of like, do you want someone that's profited off like dead people from a plane accident?
To be representing your network.
Yeah. It's like, that's, it's pretty, like, I can't stop thinking about when I was, even in the quick shots of her that we saw, like, I kept thinking about the guy whose mom died on that plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
And like.
I just think about that burn victim and his whole family. Yeah.
And like his girlfriend.
Yeah. But like I also think that Bravo loves like a trash person.
They moment. Do. No, I mean, of course it's like, they do. But if you're gonna like, I don't know, they let go of the Vanderpump people, which they I think was like fair and like they were endangering people. But Erica also has.
Well, now they've set a precedent that they're going to take moral positions as a network on the stars of the network, where before I think they didn't ever do that. Yeah. It was like,
so if they don't do that,
it was like not encouraged, but it wasn't like a punishable offense.
No,
you
got a pass.
And then they filmed it and then everyone kind of benefited off of it.
Yeah.
But now that kind of the cultural climate has changed, they are forced into a position where they have to like,
you gotta do it for them, you gotta do it for her.
I know, but I think that that's wrong. I mean, I think that that personally sucks because I want to see people get held accountable on TV.
Sorry, something came up.
No, it's okay. Like, I want to see, like, I think that that's like the most entertaining thing that you could possibly see.
Well, my fear is that she's not going to come to the reunion. She'll pull a Vanderpump.
I hate when people do that.
And I'm afraid Andy... I have faith that Andy would go in on her. But I hope that she has to answer for herself a little.
She might not even be legally allowed to like go on the reunion or on the show if a trial or anything is pending. Like,
then I don't even want to watch the reunion.
I know. It's so annoying.
And if Kathy's not on the entire reunion, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, she needs to just be there.
I have a fear that they're going to just bring her on for like a segment.
No, they need to like bump her up to full time.
Get rid of Rena, put her in. Keep Harry Hamlin.
Yeah.
Have Harry
Hamlin. Bump Harry into the mix.
Give him a diamond. Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because like, I guess it's entertaining to see people like, taken to task on camera or like be forced into like uncomfortable situations on camera. Yeah. But I guess they do benefit from that financially. Yeah. And I don't know. But like, isn't that what all this is about anyways? This was never like a wonderful, like a gorgeous network of like beautiful people trying to like shine a light on other like amazing, pure, beautiful people. Like the whole...
It was supposed... The conceit was Desperate Housewives reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Orange County, the original, was just like these...
Gremlin. Just like gremlin people with money.
Or I think in the beginning, maybe the original like experiment of it was supposed to be like the real lives of these women who are aspirational in quotes. And then they didn't, I don't think they even realized what they were getting, especially with like fucking Vicky.
Yeah. And they're like, they're petty dramas with each other that like, that are like rich people problems or whatever.
Yeah.
But then it's like this juggernaut that attracts a whole like...
That attracts Kelly Benciman.
Yeah. Attracts people like Kelly, people like Bethany, people like Tree.
What's this basket? This is so weird and creepy. We're... doing an impression of Kelly on Scary Island.
Crying in her bed while Bethany's gift basket looms.
I haven't even watched New York since the first episode.
Me neither. I just am like, I can't. I'm not interested.
I'm not interested. I can't do it. Like, I don't want to watch them. I have no desire to watch these people.
Me neither.
I liked Ebony and I
liked... I liked everyone just fine, but I was like, you're not giving me anything truly entertaining.
No.
You're not giving me the theater that I've signed up for.
Where's the... Life is supposed to be a cabaret. Where is it? Take me to that cabaret.
I think maybe there will be like a weird transition period as Bravo like tries to reconcile its own...
staleness?
I guess, yeah. Or like, how do... When you take a position of like being like the moral arbiter of... these casts, then it's shaky ground for reality TV, especially when the premise of it always was
out of touch rich women
who are gonna obviously like... you never went and the cast of Vanderpump Rules wasn't cast because they were like amazing people. It was like, these people are the dregs of West Hollywood, like the ones who got left behind in the shuffle, and they are binge drinkers and they're horrible to each other. And like, now we're going to see how they like maneuver in this, like in their environment.
Yeah.
And it doesn't excuse their behavior or their actions, like, but it's also like, it's not that shocking that Stassi Schroeder did a bunch of racist shit. Like, did you ever tune into the show? And so when you take that away or try and like make sure that that doesn't happen, I don't know. It's just like, it's hard.
I think things like what she did and what Kristen did were like, when it's potentially endangering someone, I think that should be... it was right for them to kick them off, I think.
Because
they were... like, I hear what you're saying, but I also think, like, specifically, I'm talking about, like, what they did to Faith. Like, that could have gotten her hurt or killed, you know? So, like, I think stuff like that, where it's, like, someone's... could cause, like, grievous bodily harm to someone in like, a racist action like that, like, what they did and what Jax did, I think that... is... but then while that is true, so much of Bravo shows have had elements of like, oh my god, I can't believe they just said that, or like cringe statements about race, and like, and even just beyond that, like just like people hitting each other and like Jax, and like, you know what I mean, like people being violent with each other, like that stuff should also hold. So it's like Bravo kind of masquerading now as this like moral, when it's like, this has been going on since the inception of all these shows.
Really only became a problem as of last year when, like...
But I think that was a great start to, like, clearing out the, like, bullshit on... like that kind of behavior is just like unacceptable and like dangerous. And I mm-hmm. think Stassi was getting away with it for so long, and like she should be held accountable.
Yeah.
And like Kristen didn't do herself any favor and should, you know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. like, and it's not surprising too that Stassi still has like a, you know, a very fervent legion of fans
yeah.
who are okay with that. But they were always going to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So like, and it's no, none of us are surprised that Stassi is a fucking like,
has done like
casual racist,
very racist shit over and over and over.
But it's like, where was Bravo before that when she was displaying this behavior? I mean, that was sort of like,
they don't care unless it affects their bottom line, I truly believe. But their actions, it's like a catch 22, because it's like they alter to preserve the bottom line, but then the alterations they make turn away view. I mean, I don't know what the ratings of New York are this season, but like, I think a lot of people are just like not interested.
Well, I don't want to watch it just mostly because I don't want to watch Ramona, and like, I don't want to watch, they're just like, they just drink too much. And like,
but it
all
just doesn't have like the magic. Like, there's not like, it used to be like magical, hilarious, like to watch them, like every scene that they were all in together.
I think they need to get rid of some of these mainstays.
Yeah.
I think they just need,
maybe it's like they need just a full overhaul.
I think they do. I think like it, I love watching like, and it pains me to say that with some of them, because I've like basically like grown up with some of these women, like mm-hmm. Luann and Ramona, and
in
like,
real life for like 10 years.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't, but like Ramona should not be on, Ramona needs to like, she is to me like the dregs.
Yeah.
And like Sonia like needs to get help. And I think it's interesting. My mom was telling me that Ebony and Sonia are really actually have this like sweet relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sonia actually, I think, who was it? Someone said that, was it Ebony or someone said that like they felt like, I think Sonia actually is deeper and smarter than she comes
yeah,
off.
I think it's
show.
An act.
And it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of them just need, they just need to like cut the cord with some of these people and just restart. They're holding on to this, and like, I get it. But
yeah. Like, it's like when you, if you're a bold, it's in need of like a bold decision. And like right now it's kind of, we're in like this period of Bravo soft shoeing and like trying to make smaller changes or whatever. And like,
I'm ready for boldness. Yeah. Especially in New York. Like,
boldness,
I'm ready.
Is like always, I think it's better to just like fucking launch something.
Yeah.
And just like swing for the fences.
I'm
and
all
then
about
maybe
it.
You miss or maybe you make it. But like,
I want to see,
I don't
more
like this soft, like,
yeah, I'm ready
soft
for
soft shoeing, I guess, is where I stand.
Totally. And I'm ready, especially for like a city like New York. Like, I'm ready for like full overhaul, new people from all walks of life from the city.
Yeah.
From downtown, from, you know what I mean? Like downtown people, like uptown, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it should
and New
be.
New York has the total, I mean,
they want more queer women, women of color. Like, we need to just like, I think New York needs a full makeover.
Mm-hmm.
And I think bringing like Leah and Ebony on was like a cool move, because they represent like
kind of the new guard.
Yeah.
I think you could keep them and
totally
then recast everyone else.
Yeah.
Maybe keep one of the,
as like a friend of.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
I agree. And I think that Vanderpump has a lot of potential. Like, I enjoy being like, these people are fucking fired. And then like, it opens up the option to like get new messy people in there, which I think is great, because that show did need a mix up. So hopefully they do that.
But you do, you're saying like, you miss, you want to see like Stassi get her,
I
shit
like
held
to see,
her
yeah
feet held to the flame a little.
Like, I would, I think it would be really interesting. Like, in my like dream scenario, I would be like, Faith is back on the show, and now we're going to like see how this fucking plays out. And it's actually going to be like a thing. And I know that it's not
Faith's,
it's not her job to like put her yeah in that position, but also it's also like a paycheck and like a job.
Well, they should have just She should have just been included in the cast from the start.
I know. She did.
She brought, like,
she did the most work she did anyone's ever done. She did some of the most important work on that show.
Yeah. And I'm ready for Vanderpump Rules to have, like, Billy Lee. Like, where's justice for Billy Lee?
I know. There you was and I no have been justice calling for that. They I'm vegan, bring, boo.
Well, it's just interesting. It's I'm always like with that show. Because
even when Billy tried to say, like, to Stassi, like,
check yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it still people like got in there, so it would be.
And then Lala like headbutted her.
Yeah, like it would be really.
I'm ready for actual. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
No, what were you gonna say?
I think it's more of a. I guess, like, I view reality TV as such a reflection of, like, the culture and the world that we live in. Even, like, it's a mirror, almost, into, like, reality and the state of the culture. So, trying to bend it to the culture's expectations is not the purpose it serves. Like, so I think it's, like, you let things play out and it, like, shows you more about yourself and the world at large.
I just, like, with Vanderpump specifically, like, I want to see more of, like, what WeHo actually is.
Mm-hmm. And we'll maybe put one gay person. I don't see why they didn't do, or why they don't just do, like, Bravo should break away from, like, Lisa Vanderpump, but you could go into any gay bar and cast all the people
who,
like,
actually
cast, like, do a cast of, like, go-go dancers who, like, work in Boys Town in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And, like, see Mickey's. The drama that, like, comes up between them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it needs to just, like, shit or get off the pot and really commit to something and not, like, they're very tepid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing that was really, like, in your face, I guess, was, like, New York, kind of always you could expect it to just be, like,
yeah, but
raw,
I
in your face, like, blah, blah,
but,
blah.
But in terms of, like, bringing it, like, with Dallas, I stopped watching it because it was just, I can't stand those women.
Mm-hmm.
And the only, and Tiffany, the new housewife, Tiffany Moon, like, she, I don't think is coming back because they, like, they put her in with these women who, like, have been...
who are just, like, the worst.
Yeah, and yeah. have not had to be accountable for anything, any of their crazy, often, like, horrifying statements. And then her whole run this season was having to be... I mean, we talked about this,
yeah.
But, like, Brandy projecting her own, like, guilt over her racism to her. And, like, she... And it, like, alienated. It's, like... And it's not her job. It's not, like, these women can't just bring in, like, someone who's a non... Like, a woman of color onto a show to just, like...
To then be the person that gives everyone, like,
it's not fair.
Excuses everyone's behavior or something.
It's not fair. It's just, like, it's very strange.
Yeah. I guess that is actually, like, that is the reflection of the culture right now.
What do you mean?
Like, that is what a lot of people do. And, like, a lot of, like, white women or just people in general, like, trying to play to minorities or, like, people of color, like, putting them in that position of, like, if I appeal to this person, that excuses me for my past actions or fucked, like, up. Hope it, and that is fucked up, but I feel like that's probably, like, what happens in a lot of, like, social situations or
yeah. I mean, I yeah,
I don't know.
Well,
I wonder,
but
I mean, again, I will say it, Jocelyn's Cabaret Atlanta keeps things fresh and gives me the entertainment that I seek. It's chaos.
I'm ready for it.
And it's avant-garde and over the top, but I'm really here for it all the time.
I'm ready.
I need, like, more things like that.
Yeah, just breaking away from this staleness that's, you know,
and maybe it is, like,
afflicted
also
a lot of these shows on Bravo.
Maybe we're getting over
Housewives
are peering into the lives of, like, wealth in that way.
Yeah, especially as we see, like, just the disparities in our own country right now are just out of control. And I think people are turning in, I mean, not to get, like, too, but I think people are, like, moving away from, like, the like you just said, like the aspiration, and now we're all like eat the rich.
Like eat the rich. We're aware that you basically have to like take money from a burn victim in order to like be super wealthy, and like it's losing its appeal. That might be the bottom line. Like, I never wanted to see the Vanderpump Rules crew live in mansions and like drive nice cars.
Well, that's why I like Below Deck, because it's like I've been in service industry. Like, it's fun. It's refreshing to see people who are like working actual jobs, mm-hmm. and not like, you know, going to a party at their other house that they rent to their friend in Bel Air.
Yeah.
While like half of our city is like in disarray because the city failed, like, and the people are unemployed, and you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's like, what the fuck?
Maybe anyway. We're moving away from like wealth porn and reality and like obsession and more into like niche like careers or jobs, like cool. cabaret dancer.
I'm into it.
Yeah, like I feel that's like more real and gonna be like more interesting to see people navigate.
Step it up, Bravo. Step it up.
The ball's in your court, and don't do something like adult summer camp again. That was wrong of you.
I don't remember that.
There was a show on like last year, I think, that was like adult summer camp.
No.
Carrie, it was one of the darkest things I've ever seen.
I'm going to go home and watch it.
I dare you to try and watch 2 episodes. I got really stoned and put it on. I was like, I guess I'll fuck with this. And it truly made me so deeply sad. Like, I Men in Blacked it from my memory and like forgot until I think it was Danny Pellegrino who like brought it up when he was a guest on the pod. And it was just like, I could not. I was like, these are the saddest losers I've ever seen represented on TV ever. Like, oh, it's actually like so, it made me really, really sad and depressed. And not in like a fun Vanderpump way. In like a truly like,
I have to investigate.
There are people out here that like do this and love it kind of way. And I just like don't see how this can be.
Prayers to them.
These people like, that can do that. And then they also like, get laid. Someone told me they went to adult summer camp. I'd be like, get the fuck away from me. I would rather interface with someone that had raging COVID than an adult summer camp.
Yeah, I'd rather fuck someone who like does LARPs Quidditch, like does like Quidditch games where they like run around in a field with a broom than like adult summer camp. It's horrible.
Adult summer camp where the people just like binge drink and like play like outdoor capture the flag.
It's like that WeWork camp thing.
Yeah, it's WeWork camp.
Sick.
I can't do it. And like guys that like, it's like chugging beer. Oh my god, I'm just, and they have like dances.
Stop.
No.
Straight people, hetero hell.
Hetero hell on earth.
Sick.
And I can't believe that Bravo thought that that was an appropriate thing to bring into anyone's lives.
Excuse me. Like, this is not, who is your, know your audience.
Honestly.
We are not for that.
No. Give me glamour. Give me something.
Anyway, guys, I hope you all are well and you stay cool if you're experiencing a heat wave like we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Check out Laura's incredible social media presence at Laura's Marie.
And follow me on Poshmark.
Follow Laura on Poshmark. Follow me at eCario.
And take care of yourselves.
Bye.
Bye.